Sometime back, here at Cool Springs, I endeavored to preach on a text from Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? Is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Now, one of the symptoms of this virus, this COVID virus, is that people lose their sense of taste. And I don't have it yet. I still enjoy eating very much. But how many of God's children have lost their sense of taste spiritually? How many of us can really say that we have tasted that the Lord is good? You know, it's one thing to know the Lord is good, but it's better to taste that the Lord is good. How many of y'all love ice cream or cake? I do. I know it's good, but it's better to taste it. And you and I need to be spiritually aware of the goodness of the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And how good is He? Let's back up to Psalm 33 and verse 5. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full. Listen to that. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The earth is just full of His goodness. Are you all aware of His goodness? When God created this good earth 6,000 years ago, He filled it with everything that our bodies would ever need. He gave us things to look at that are beautiful. He gave us everything that was needed to satisfy the five senses of our body. Our vision, our smell, our taste, our touch, our feel. God just gave us everything to enjoy, to richly enjoy. And you know why God did all that? Because He is good. And His goodness fills the earth. And you and I would be much blessed if we would keep that in mind at all times. Let's think about some of the good things God put on this earth. What about oxygen? Do y'all know what it would cost you on a daily basis if you had to pay for the oxygen that God is giving you? How many of y'all enjoy breathing? I do. I may have shared this story with you all, but a man one time was in the hospital and he got a bill for the oxygen that they were giving him. And he broke down and cried. And the doctor said, "Now don't cry." He said, "We'll work this bill out. We can arrange payments." He said, "I'm not crying about the bill. I can pay it. I'm just thinking about all the oxygen I've been breathing all my lifetime, and God never sent me a bill for it." Can I get a witness from anybody in this house? Has God ever sent you a bill for oxygen? What about sunshine? Can you imagine what it would cost the planet Earth if God charged us for one day of sunshine? Sunshine is an amazing thing. And God just gives it to us freely. What about food? How many of you all have electricity in your house? You say, "Now, Brother Sam, that's a foolish question." Well, you go back 100 years in America and electricity was not that common. I don't go quite far enough back to remember that, but I'm close. REA was a great blessing when it began to bring electricity here in the rural areas of Georgia. How many, But do I take electricity for granted? Probably. I'm almost to the point where I, forgive me, Father, but you know, when you are so used to a blessing, you can begin to think you're entitled to it. But we're not. We ought to be giving thanks to God. How many of y'all enjoy two or three good meals a day? I do. You know where all that comes from? The goodness of the Lord. He just filled the earth with goodness. We worship a good God. And you and I need to taste it and see and be aware of the fact that we worship a good God. You say, well, Brother Sam, if he's so good, why is this world so broken? And why is the world in such a mess? It's not God's fault. When God made it, he looked at it and said, it's good and very good. There were no hurricanes, no droughts, no tornadoes, no viruses, no forest fires. You know where all that comes from? It comes from man. We are the problem. We are the sinners. And yet, the earth is full of his goodness. And you and I continue to benefit from the goodness of the Lord, and how we ought to be thanking him for it on a daily basis. Now you would think that the more we are blessed, the more thankful we would be. You would think that, wouldn't you? But the truth is, our nature is such that the more we are blessed, sometimes the more unthankful we are for the blessings. I remember, I think Betsy will forgive me for sharing this, but I remember, you know, she was an only child for about 4 years. And let me tell you, at Christmas, the gifts piled up from a lot of people. I mean, they'd just be under the tree right up to the branches. And I remember when she was about 2 or 3 years of age, she just ripped through those gifts, never even paid any attention to them. She just went from one to the other, ripping them open. And when she finally got to the grand finale, I was hoping she would say to the grandparents, thank you. But you know what she did? She looked around as if, is this all there is? Now, Betsy, forgive me. But I'm just sharing the human nature that's in all of us. How many of us just open God's gifts on a daily basis and look around to see if there's any more? When the truth is, by nature, we don't deserve any of it. I remember getting my girls a little notebook, and I wanted them to start writing down at least 5 things a day they were thankful for. And I remember very well they protested and said, 5 things a day? How can we come up with 5 things a day? What if you had to start keeping a list of things every day that you're thankful for? Could you come up with 5? Thankfully, that little homework helped them to start being aware of how blessed they were, and it wasn't any trouble to start writing down 5 things a day. But you know, beloved, God warns his children that they need to guard their hearts with all diligence when we are blessed in this life, lest we forget him. I want to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 for a moment this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and beginning in verse 4, Moses is speaking to the children of God, and it's before they're going to go in to the land of promise, the land flowing with milk and honey. Remember, they'd been slaves in Egypt for how long? 400 years. Slaves to the Egyptians. Then God brings them out of Egypt, under the leadership of Moses, and for 40 years they are pilgrims and strangers in the wilderness. That was rough. They had to eat the same bread every day, drinking water from a dry rock. But after the 40 years was up, God is going to take them in to the promised land. And overnight, these people are going to become wealthy landowners. They've been slaves, they've been pilgrims, and now they're going to be landowners. And so, notice what Moses says to them. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's something all of us need to remember. How many of y'all think about that on a daily basis? How many gods are there in the universe? There's only one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on the gates. What is Moses telling the children of Israel? He said, I want you all to teach this to your children. I want you to pass it on. I want your children to know about me. And I want you to share with them on a daily basis. You don't have to put them in a straight jacket and have a church service in your house. But just incidentally, as the day progresses and God gives opportunity, just talk to your children about me. And tell them about how God has watched over Israel and cared for us. You know, I remember many years ago reading about the average middle class fathers in America spend about 37 seconds a day with their one-year-old. Just enough time to say hello and goodbye. That's sad, isn't it? Dads need to spend quality time with their children. And let me tell you, they're going to be getting a lot of information from a lot of different sources. It's not going to be good for them. And you need to be planting in them good principles from the Word of God and teach them diligently, just as Moses is saying here. He says, and thou shalt teach them, your children, diligently. What does that word mean? It means rub it in. Be diligent when you talk to your kids about God. Diligently to thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Oh, and then he says, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes. These Israelites literally wore the Word of God. And you know, I see people today with bracelets or necklaces with a scripture quotation. That's good. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and on thy gates. I go into a lot of homes through the country where people have a scripture up on the wall. You know, that's a good thing to do, isn't it? Are y'all listening? Am I getting over to y'all today? We need to, the Word of God needs to have a very prominent place in our homes, because our children are going to need it, and we need it. And when they go off to school and college, I can assure you, they're not going to have anybody out there, probably, that's going to be upholding the Word of God. They're going to have people out there that are going to be trying to poison their minds and cause them to be filled with doubt. I know two very fine Primitive Baptist preachers whose sons went off to college and got engineering degrees and came back home atheists. And I know they were raised. Right, but let me tell you, your children need on the whole armor of God. We all need on the whole armor of God. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the girdle of truth. Because, let me tell you, beloved friends, we don't spend much time at church. I know some of y'all probably think the sermons are too long, but let me tell you, how much time do we spend each week in worship to God? He only required us to come on Sunday, the first day of the week. That's very reasonable, don't you all think? If God had said, I want y'all in church every day, that wouldn't have been unreasonable considering what He's done for us and how He's blessed us. So the quality time we have in the house of God, may it be spent considering His Word, but don't let that be all that you get. I remember about a boy who wrote his dad and said he was away at college and said, Dad, I need more money. And his daddy said, are you reading the Bible I gave you? He said, oh yeah, I'm reading it every day. Well, he wasn't. The dad had put $20 bills all through the book. He just lied to his daddy. But let me tell you, there were things in that book a lot more valuable than the $20 bills. Would you agree with that today? You and I need to be studying the Word, reading the Word, considering the Word as we live out our days on this earth. So the Lord was telling Israel, I'm about to take you into the land. Now let's notice what He said here. And we're in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He says in verse 10, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which He sware to thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. See, God is going to drive these people out of the land. These Ites, all of these Canaanites, He's going to drive them out because this is God's land and He promised it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So they're going to go in and they're going to possess a land and they're going to dwell in great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, what does he say? Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. You wouldn't think that these people would ever forget the Lord, because He brought them out of slavery, through the wilderness, into a land flowing with milk and honey. You'd think they'd just go around on their knees saying, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. But God knows human nature. And He said, I don't want you to forget me when you're blessed. As I said earlier, you'd think the more we are blessed, the more we would thank God. But human nature doesn't work that way. And you and I we've got to subdue our human nature. You know, it's just in our nature, when we are so blessed, to forget the blessing, especially when we inherit things we didn't work for. It's so easy to take it for granted. So easy in our fallen human nature. But I want to tell you, all of us in this house today, you know, we're living better than people were 100 years ago. How many of y'all realize that? We're all living very well today. Now you say, Brother Sam, I haven't got what the Joneses have got. Well, you may not, but you probably don't need what all the Joneses have got. You know, used to it was got to keep up with the Joneses. Not anymore. You got to get ahead of the Joneses. That's not enough. Oh, beloved, we just need to count our blessings, name them one by one, and it would surprise us what the Lord has done. I appreciate those heads nodding and some amens. It is true. We are blessed. You know, my My grandfather moved down to Hazelhurst, Georgia, a long time ago. And he moved down there. He went down there in an ox cart, he and my grandmother, and they went down there to make their fortune in dipping turpentine. I don't know if y'all know anything about turpentine, dipping turpentine, but that was hard work. But it was supposed to be a way of really getting ahead financially. They went down there in an ox cart. My dad was born down there in 1893. Well, he didn't strike it rich. Hard times. They were barely surviving. So my grandmother's dad sent her enough money with the kids to come back on the train to Cochran, Georgia. Finally, my grandfather got back. Now, I'm telling you all this to help y'all understand how blessed I am today. Now, my dad was better off than his dad was. I'm better off than my dad was. I'm talking about financially now. How many of y'all are doing this? You know, I've been reading that this is the first generation of Americans, the millennials, that probably won't have any more than their parents had. Like, that's a sad thing. How big has the houses got to get? Back in the 50s, houses were like 1,000 square feet. Now, the average house in America is like 2,400 square feet. And listen, there's nothing wrong with having a big house and full of good furniture. Nothing wrong. You think our God doesn't want to bless His children? He does. But He doesn't want to be forgotten. He doesn't want us to forget Him as the fountain of every blessing. Oh, my soul, I hope some way, somehow today, this message will stir in us a deep sense of gratitude for the goodness that our God has bestowed upon us. My dear friend Obey, who came to Birmingham from East Africa, said to me one day, he said, Pastor, he said, I'm afraid America is being persecuted with prosperity. He could see the lack of spirituality, the lack of gratitude. He could see the carnality that was abounding. How long has it been since you've watched a TV show that honored God and honored Jesus Christ? I was reading this last night about the code that was going on in Hollywood back in the 20s and 30s. Movies had gotten risque. You can't imagine it, but it was. And so they came out with a code. And let me tell you, they held that code in Hollywood until the 50s. And you couldn't have any profanity. You couldn't have any nudity. You really couldn't highlight sin and make sin look glamorous. But I want to tell you, that code is gone. You and I need to be very careful what we watch on TV and at the movies. Because I can tell you most of that now is coming right from Satan himself. And it's corrupting our land. Are y'all getting this? I don't know if this COVID-19 is just another pandemic like we've had in the past, or if it's the judgment of God. I don't know. But I know one thing. If God sends judgment on this country, He's justified in doing it. Would y'all agree with that? And you and I need to be bowing before Him and praising Him and thanking Him. I want to come to a New Testament example of a church that was blessed beyond measure, and yet they were ungrateful. And that's the church of Laodicea. Seven churches are mentioned in the book of Revelation, and Laodicea is the last of the seven, and not one good thing is said about that church. And it was made up of God's children saved by grace and on their way to heaven. But they were not one good thing was said about that church. Not one good thing. Would y'all like for God to send a letter to Cool Springs today and just really tell us just like it is? I'd be scared to read it. I'd be the same way about Vestavia. Matter of fact, I'd be concerned about a letter he sent me. And in that letter, you know what that church said? They looked at themselves and they said, we are rich. We're increased with goods. We have need of Jesus? No. We have need of nothing. And he knocks at the door. Jesus knocks at the door of the Laodicean church. Now, our brethren out in the Armenian world say that that is a picture of Jesus knocking at the door of a dead alien sinner trying to come in and give him eternal life. We know that's not true. How long would you have to knock at the door of a dead man before he could get up and let you in? If somebody's dead, you just got to get in there on your own. Well, I want to tell you, Jesus sovereignly comes to those that are dead in sin and gives them eternal life. But to a church like this church that has maybe grown a little lukewarm, he's a gentleman. He knocks at the door of his own church. You know, Christmas is coming. How many of y'all love Christmas? I do. What is really Christmas supposed to be about? The birth of Jesus Christ. It's supposed to be his birth, his birthday. I love the story of the little girl. Somebody asked her if she got what she wanted for Christmas, and she said, well, not really, but after all, it's not my birthday. That was eye-opening. What if you went to a birthday party for a little boy or girl and everybody brought gifts to give to each other but didn't give them any? That wouldn't make much sense, would it? I want to tell you, people say we ought to put Christ back into Christmas. Well, every day of our lives, we ought to just be thanking God. So here's the church at Laodicea. They say we're rich, we're increased with goods, we have need of nothing. Jesus is standing at the door of the church knocking to come in. Now, obviously, they did. You know what this meeting would be today if Christ isn't in this house? It'd be a waste of our time. I hope he's here. I certainly was praying to that end. Brother Stephen was. I hope you all came with that desire that he would be in the midst to own and to bless. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't care how nice the building is, how nice the grounds are, how nice the PA system is, how well dressed we all are. If Christ is not here, it's all in vain. How many of y'all understand that? See, it's my responsibility as a pastor to try to bring our attention to Jesus Christ. And you know what will help a church more than anything else in this world is to see Jesus. That helps unify churches. Last time I was here, I mentioned the Iwo Jima Memorial in Washington, D.C. And I want to bring that up again today. Those Marines out there on that little island, they were all, you know what they were doing? They were all holding on to that flagpole. You know why? Not for glory for themselves. They wanted old glory. They wanted the stars and the stripes up there where everybody could see them. You know what you and I ought to be doing today at this church? Now, y'all listen. We all ought to be grabbing hold of the flagpole that upholds the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing will unify people any more than together we meet to hold Him up, where everybody can see it. You're not here today to see me. You're here to see Christ. I hope you saw Him in the hymns, in the prayer, and in this message. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about Jesus Christ. Teamwork makes the dream work. That's an old saying in sports. How many of y'all have ever played sports when it was a team sport? I'm not talking about golf. I'm talking about where the whole team, you had to count on everybody. Let me tell you, if there's not any teamwork, there's not going to be any success. The church here needs to all be gathered around Jesus Christ and lift him up. And Jesus looked at this church and he said, y'all are poor and wretched and blind and naked. How many of y'all this morning see yourself like that? Or you think, man, I'm okay, you're okay. No, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven belongs to those that are poor in spirit. Not poor financially. Let me tell you, financial poverty is no secret to spiritual growth. I've known some poor people in my life that were bitter and angry about their poverty. Poverty is no, there's no great blessing in poverty. But I want to tell you, it's a blessing to be poor in spirit. To know that you and I are sinners. I'm a sinner and nothing at all. Jesus is my all in all. And I want to tell you, 2,000 years ago, God sent this world the greatest gift that will ever be. The greatest gift you'll get this year won't be under the tree. The greatest gift you and I will ever have was nailed to the tree 2,000 years ago. And I tell people now, when you're going to celebrate Christmas and you got a Christmas tree, let that tree remind you of the tree of the cross where Jesus died. When you see the pretty lights, you know what those lights ought to remind you of? The light of the world. And those gifts under the tree, they'll remind you of the greatest gift of all. When God gave us eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. I wish I could preach. I wish I could show you all what you have today in Jesus. You know, the only thing that's going to get us into that beautiful city called heaven, the only thing that's going to get us there is the blood and death of Jesus. I've heard people say, well, Brother Sam, why do we sing nothing but the blood? Couldn't Jesus have just given some blood and then not die? No. You see, the life of the flesh is in the blood. He had to die. He gave His all for us so that you and I could be with Him in heaven someday. And I want to tell you, I believe He was successful. How many of y'all believe Jesus saved everybody He came to save? Y'all think He was a miserable failure? He just offered salvation? Made it available? Now you've got to do your part. I say our part is to find out we don't have a part. He did it all. And I tell you, if you don't leave here today happy in Jesus, I have failed as a preacher. I want y'all to know what you've got that the devil can't steal. I want you to know what you got today that they can't vote it out. You've got salvation. You've got eternal life. And someday, by His grace, we're going to fly away and be with Jesus. I tell you, y'all think it's worth our coming over here today to worship this Christ? Did you think of any other place you would be better off today? Oh, my brothers and sisters, let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow this morning to ask You to please help us to understand this. We know by nature we are unthankful, we're selfish, we're complainers, we murmur. Father, forgive us. And please, please help us. I acknowledge that I need help to be thankful. Just knowing I'm blessed is not enough. I need to feel it in my heart. Help me to taste and see that the Lord is good. And bless this congregation today. No matter what the future holds for us, Heavenly Father, we know that Your grace is sufficient for us. Thank You for our Lord Jesus who loved us and died for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.